Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, May 10th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Murray, Lessons Can Be Learned. Board President, bond losses elsewhere won't deter Midland ISD from determining right plan. By Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD Board President Brian Murray said there were lessons to be learned from bond defeats in Odessa and Greenwood. He also said a bond is specific to the community, and Midland ISD's examination of facility and education needs will continue despite recent electoral outcomes nearby. He told the Reporter Telegram that political outcomes elsewhere aren't nearly as important in a discussion with the community as what is happening with educational outcomes. District leaders are optimistic that headway will be made on reducing the number of failing and D-rated campuses. Murray said this week for the district to ask for even one dime that academic improvement and maintenance upgrades are required. On Saturday, the Ector County Elections Office reported that Ector County ISD Proposition A, which would have provided funding for various school maintenance projects, as well as funding for the construction of a new career and technical school campus, failed 61.45% to 38.55%. Proposition B, which would have provided for the construction of a new high school in northeast Odessa, failed by nearly 30 percentage points, 64.75 to 32.25. A long-range facilities planning document presented to Midland ISD Board earlier this year showed the highest-ranked capital improvement projects included general campus improvements, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, including a minimum of $50 million as identified by the facilities assessment and operations team. Two new high schools, both 9th to 12th grades. New elementary school in northeast Midland, Lone Star Trail, kindergarten to 5th. Repurpose Midland freshman campus to a middle school. Include a minimum of $6 million for general campus improvements identified by facilities assessment and operations team. And repurpose Legacy High School campus to middle school. Include a minimum of $20 million for general campus improvements identified by the facilities assessment and operations team. A bond in Midland isn't expected until May 2023 at the earliest, and Murray said it will be important that MISD officials make their case based on realistic ask, money-wise, and community buy-in for the need for those facility improvements. One of the things I learned from the bond in 2019 is that the community was not a big enough part of the process, Murray said. He pointed to bond efforts in communities like Arlington, where those holding forums and compiling information were third parties. The community will support us if we give them a reason to support us. The board president and representative of Northwest Midland said Midlanders will learn more about the district's offerings for career and technical education in June and test scores around the district in late summer. He said a bond committee will be put in place, and that committee will then decide how much to bite off at one time or whether to break it up into pieces. Ector County voters turned down more than $400 million in asks from the district this past weekend. Nearly 60% of voters shot down Greenwood's $140 million bond in November 2021. Midland ISD's bond in 2019 included $569 million in projects. When Murray was asked about the right time to put a bond in front of a community, he offered, "I'm an accountant. There is never a great time to raise taxes." He then noted, It is hard to know when it is a good time, but that interest rates are only going to increase and that building costs are certain to rise exponentially. He did say the ultimate outcome of facility improvements, whether at one time or over a period of time, is that freshmen need to be on the senior high campus and sixth graders need to join seventh and eighth graders at middle schools. That's an important part of the process, Murray said, about the realignment, noting that positives to the moves include educational continuity, students being able to take advantage of electives, the district being able to better use resources, and cut the number of student transitions to a new campus. A main point of Murray's look back at past elections was that the process matters, specifically the district's actions. Those actions include performance in the classroom, the improved outcomes in taking care of maintenance issues with the current budget, like with roof repair and HVAC projects, the inclusion of those wanting to provide feedback about what's needed, and the value officials must show when a plan is put before the community. This article is entitled, Pfluger is Proud to Show First-Hand Look at Industry. Energy industry's own technical innovations and emissions reductions amaze visiting Congresswoman. By Mella McEwen. Through its oil and gas production, the Permian Basin, writ large, is at the epicenter of geopolitics, stated Representative August Pfluger, the Republican who represents District 11 in Congress. As such, he told the reporter Telegram in a telephone interview, it is important to educate as many members of Congress as he can on what Permian Basin oil and gas operators do and how they operate. To do so, he has hosted, he estimates, about 10 fellow members of Congress, including House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican California, last February, just as Winter Storm Uri was headed to the area. One representative from Kansas who visited continues to stay in touch with him, asking energy-related questions, Pfluger said. Last week, he hosted Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, ranking member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, on a visit to an MCM exploration drilling rig and Diamondback Energy hydraulic fracturing site. McMorris Rogers was amazed at the technical innovations and the industry's emissions reductions, he related. She said, the emissions reductions weren't because of the government, and I said, no, it's because of industry innovation. If Republicans gain control of the House in November, McMorris Rogers stands to become chairperson of the Energy and Commerce Committee, and Pfluger said if that happens, it's critical that she understand the industry. He said he very much wants to join that committee, but getting named is a complex process that takes time. When it comes to the nation's energy security, he says his district is the most important district hands down, and he intends to continue serving as the voice of the district and leading on energy issues. And that includes continuing to invite his fellow members of Congress to visit and get a first-hand view of the industry, how it operates, and how it impacts lives. The 10 who have already visited have been Republicans, but Pfluger said Democrats have also expressed interest in coming to Midland. When the Midland and Odessa chambers had their fly-in recently, I organized a bipartisan panel discussion and had interest from Democrats, he said. It's very important everyone sees how the industry operates. When he brings fellow congressmen and women to Midland, he said he is very proud to let them talk to industry experts and to operators about the challenges the industry faces, from the regulatory environment to labor and supply chain issues. It gives legislatures a good idea of what they need to be thinking about, he said. This article is entitled MCS. Helmkamp earns valedictorian honors. Dixon is salutatorian. By Midland Reporter Telegram. Lacey Helmkamp will be the valedictorian and Brody Dixon the salutatorian for the Midland Christian School class of 2022, the school announced. Midland Christian reported that Lacey is a treasurer of the National Honor Society and chose not to play sports this year so she could focus on her academics. Her activities and honors included being a Texas Scholar with more than 40 hours of community service and volunteering at Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center. She also reported lettering in track and playing volleyball for 3 years. Helmkamp will attend Texas A&M University and majoring in business accounting. "I have known since I was a little girl that I wanted to go to A&M," Lacey wrote. "Getting into A&M is hard enough, but it is even more challenging to get into the business program. I knew that I would have to work as diligently as I could throughout high school in order to make that happen. The only way any of this was possible is because of God. All along, this was his plan for me." Brody is the vice president of the Student Council, an officer of the National Honor Society, and an officer of both Spanish and Science Club. "I am a Texas Scholar and a Mustang mentor." Other honors included being a varsity captain and a 3-year letter winner in football, and receiving the highest grade in chemistry and math during his high school career. Dixon will attend the University of Texas and major in business. Between them, Lacey and Brody attended Midland Christian for 22 years. This article is entitled, "Odessa Voters Reject ECISD Bond Propositions," by Odessa Headlines. Both school bond ballot propositions by Ector County Independent School District, ECISD, totaling nearly a combined $400 million, were overwhelmingly rejected by voters on Saturday, with similar margins of defeat for each proposition. Proposition A, which totaled $215,255,000, would have provided funding for various school maintenance projects, as well as funding for the construction of a new career and technical school campus. The proposition failed to pass, with final results showing 4,768 votes against, 61.45%, to 3,003 votes for, or 38.55%. Proposition B, which totaled $183 million, would have provided for the construction of a new high school located at the corner of Faudry and Yukon in northeast Odessa. The proposition also failed to pass, with final results showing 5,043 votes against, 64.75%, and 2,746 for, or 35.25%. According to data from the Ector County Elections Office, just shy of 8,000 voters turned out for the May 7th election, a number that GOP Chairwoman Tisha Crowe tells Odessa Headlines is a very high turnout for this election cycle. "While we would always like to see more people vote, historically speaking, this is a good turnout. And I am so proud of everyone who turned out and made their voices heard," Crowe said. The Ector County Republican Party took a neutral position on the bond proposals. The bond propositions were met with scrutiny from community members, particularly the proposed new school, with residents saying the selection of the northeast Odessa location overlooked more pressing population growth needs in west Odessa. The school district will now have to go back to the drawing board and decide if they are going to present another bond proposal for a future election date and what that proposal will look like. This article is entitled, "Early College Students Sign Academic Letters of Intent," by the Midland Reporter-Telegram. In April, the senior class from Early College High School at Midland College signed academic letters of intent to colleges and universities throughout the United States, including the U.S. Air Force Academy, Cornell University, and Hawaii Pacific University. Students also declared their intent for institutions closer to home, such as Texas Tech University, University of Texas Permian Basin, Angelo State University, and Sul Ross State University. Even though ECHS at MC students have an opportunity to earn an associate degree from Midland College while attending high school, 7 of these students will continue their studies at Midland College to complete specialty programs such as nursing, respiratory care, firefighting, and massage therapy. Congratulations to Catherine Abbott, Eva Aranda, Manuel Besares, Maria Cardona, Carrie Montanez, Ariane Mota, Miranda Vargas, who will now embark upon studies to prepare them for high-wage, in-demand careers. This article is entitled, DPS, Midland Man 42 Dies After Truck Runs Stop Sign, by Midland Reporter Telegram. A Midland man died Saturday after another vehicle disregarded a stop sign, moved through an intersection, and collided with his vehicle west of Midland. The Texas Department of Public Safety report stated that around 7:26 p.m., Pedro Alejandro Anchondo was driving his 2018 Ford Mustang and making a turn onto Airline Road. At the same time, a 2018 Dodge 2500 pickup was moving east on Airline. The report added that the Dodge disregarded the stop sign and collided with the Mustang. Anchondo was pronounced deceased at the scene, the report stated. The driver of the Dodge, a 32-year-old Midlander, was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital in stable condition. No other information was provided, including whether a driver was going to be cited. This article is entitled, DPS, Midland Woman 50 Dies After Business 20 Crash, by Midland Reporter Telegram. A 70-year-old Midland man failed to yield the right-of-way early Sunday morning, and a passenger in his vehicle was killed after his vehicle collided with a truck on Business 20, according to the Department of Public Safety. DPS reported that around 12:10 a.m. Sunday, Sylvia Veronica Cortez Chavez, 50, was a passenger in a 2007 Chevrolet Silverado pickup, which was traveling east in a turning lane of Business 20. The report added the driver of the Chevrolet failed to yield the right-of-way to approaching traffic and turned in front of a 2018 Dodge Ram 3500 pickup, resulting in a collision. The front passenger of the Silverado was pronounced deceased, the DPS stated. Cortez Chavez was not wearing a seatbelt, according to DPS. The driver of the Silverado was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital in stable condition. The driver of the Dodge was not injured. This article is entitled, Texas Voters Okay Measures to Lower Property Taxes, by the Associated Press. Austin. Texas voters have approved 2 amendments to the state's constitution that aim to give modest breaks to homeowners on property taxes. About 85% of voters in Saturday's election supported Proposition 2, which raises the amount of a home's value that's exempt from school district property taxes from $25,000 to $40,000. Texas Senator Paul Bettencourt, a Republican from Houston, said the change will save the average homeowner about $175 a year. About 87% of voters supported Proposition 1, which extends the legislature's 2019 cuts on school property tax rates to homeowners who are disabled or 65 and older. The rates for those homeowners are frozen. So, with the new measure, they'll benefit from those cuts, and then their taxes will be refrozen, Bettencourt said. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled, Councilman's Family Should Pull Bid for Contract with Midland, by Stuart Doreen, editor, Midland Reporter Telegram. Dan Corrales's wife needs to pull her bid to acquire a $250,000-plus City of Midland contract. Because when her husband decided to run for city office and then won, the idea of their family being a vendor for the city should have ended. The Midland City Council will vote Tuesday on a bid from the Corrales family to handle laundry services for multiple City of Midland departments. Legally, all the conflict of interest statements have been signed and the deal can be done. But this isn't about what's legal in the eyes of the state of Texas. It's about what's right for elected officials in Midland. And a sitting representative's family business bringing in six figures of taxpayer money, low bid or not, isn't right, and certainly wasn't what we expect from a council member when elected. As a follower of the Midland City Council for more than two decades, I haven't seen anything like a councilman putting the other six members in this position. What we know heading into today's vote is that Corrales didn't inform a majority of the other council members that his family would bid on a six-figure deal. There was not even a message through city staff that this was forthcoming. I believe that Corrales has put the rest of the council in an uncomfortable, if not impossible, situation. By bidding on this laundry contract, he gives credence to every talk show caller or social media commentator who says that people who serve on the council or school board or other volunteer position in local government are doing so to line their own pockets. In 20 years of covering city government, I have never seen a council member wanting to directly benefit to the tune of six figures while representing part or all of Midland. Correction, I hadn't seen that before Tuesday when I read the council agenda. I have to admit that I failed to recognize before that the family once held this contract. I should have known this and should have asked Corrales when he was a candidate for office if his family plans to engage in business with the city like it did 5 years ago. So for that, I apologize to you. I feel for this council. Should this vote take place, Dan Corrales will leave the room and his wife will approach the council to make a case for why members should approve this contract. Council members could then approve the bid and award a contract. Members of the council also might go in a different direction. They might tell the bidder how this contract is not in the city's best interest, or isn't the type of service Midlanders expect from families of elected officials. They might tell the bidder how this nearly $300,000 contract stains city leadership. And it does. I expect these words would be respectful of the person bringing the bid before the council, but stern, in that city government doesn't need a distraction like this or to be discredited. In a perfect world, the family would have not bid $292,490 on this laundry contract, but they did. A possible best-case scenario is for the councilman's wife to pull the bid. Then, Dan Corrales can begin the process of rebuilding his trust with those whom he serves and with those he represents. In my view, Dan Corrales can serve as an at-large councilman, or his family can bid on contracts with the city. Both cannot happen at the same time. Not in the Midland I know. I also know there is no good outcome here, and damage to city government leadership likely has already been done.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. Education section. The following students were honored at an Exchange Club Awards luncheon in April. Midland High. English, Zane Calley. Foreign language, Mariela Gonzalez Galindo. Math, Shelby Stevens. Science, Abigail Hightower. Social studies, Elizabeth Brown. Legacy High. English, Tyler Ross. Foreign language, Jacqueline Cruz. Math, Sophia Thompson. Science, Trevor Van Heusen. Social studies, Yusef Oyeniyi. Early college, high school at Midland College. Outstanding student, Parker Tew. Here's a look at each of the winners from Midland High, Legacy, and Early College High School at Midland College. Midland High School, Zane Calley, English Department. Parents, Jeremy Calley and Melissa Calley Price. Activities, National Technical Honor Society. Honors and Awards, National Honor Society, National Merit Commended Scholar, Four-Year Academic Letterman, Duke University State Recognition Award, Duke University Grand Recognition Award, First Place in the Rebecca Watson Writing Competition, recognized by the Midland Rotary Club. Future plans to attend Texas A&M University, major in genetics, to work in the field of genetic research. Mariela Gonzalez-Galindo, subject, foreign language, parents Manuel Gonzalez and Rosa Alba Galindo. Activities, Midland High School Spanish Honor Society and the Health Sciences Academy. Honors and awards, National Honor Society, two-time academic letterman. Future plans to attend Midland College, major in nursing and work in healthcare. Shelby Stevens, subject math, parents Sam Stevens, Angela Becker. Activities, varsity basketball, students in philanthropy, junior class officer, First Baptist Youth Ministry. Future plans to attend Texas A&M University to major in biology and work in the field of medicine. Abigail Hightower, subject science, parents Chris and Jennifer Hightower. Activities, orchestra, varsity tennis, Health Sciences Academy. Honors and Awards, National Honor Society, National Technical Honor Society, Four-Year Academic Letterman, Physics Student of the Year, Varsity Tennis Letterman, National Honor Society Officer, CNA Certification and EKG Certification through Health Sciences Academy. Future plans to participate in the partnership between Midland College and University of North Texas, major in biology and work in the field of pediatric medicine. Elizabeth Brown. Subject, social studies. Parents, Justin and Allison Brown. Activities, orchestra and mystique. Varsity swimming, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Camp Barnabas Ministry. Honors and award, National Honor Society, Spanish National Honor Society. Four-year academic letterman, varsity swimming letterman, Spanish National Honor Society officer, AP scholar, orchestra leadership president, two-time finalist in Rebecca T. Watson Creative Writing Contest, best all-around female orchestra student, state solo and ensemble qualifier, swimming Braveheart Award. Future plans to attend the Macaulay Honors College at the College of Staten Island, where she will major in social work. Legacy High School, Tyler Ross, subject, English, parents, Brenton and Natalie Ross, activities, varsity choir, show choir, swimming. Honors Award, and Interact Club Secretary, Rotary Club Scholar, member of the National Honor Society, top 10% of the 2022 graduating class, choir co-president, high score on all three of solos in the choir and solo and ensemble competitions. Future plans, serve a two-year church mission in Edmonton, Canada. Tyler plans to attend Brigham Young University and major in finance. His goal is to become a financial analyst. Jacqueline Cruz, foreign language, subject foreign language, parents San Juanita Vasquez. Honors and award, academic excellence in multiple foreign languages, completed 3 years of Spanish and will complete her second year of French this year. Future plans to attend Midland College, undecided on career path. Sophia Thompson, subject, math department, parents Lena Thompson and Michael Thompson. Activities, LHS volleyball team, received the Fighting Heart Award and academic all-district recognition. Participated in the Midland Young Leader Convention with General Tommy Franks and completed her Certified Nurse's Assistant certification. Midland Memorial Hospital Permian Junior Scholar Program, Patient Care Tech Program. Honors and awards, academic achievement letter, 4 years, Rotary Club Student of the Week and Honor Society in grades 11 and 12, currently serves as the treasurer of the organization. Future plans to attend Texas Tech University, where she's been accepted in the Honors College. Her goal is to major in science and the humanities, and she will eventually attend medical school. Trevor Van Heusen, subject, science department, parents Russell and Kelly Van Heusen. Activities participated in football, where he was recognized on the All-District First Team, member of our Legacy High Basketball, competed with the Robo Junkies Robotics Team. Honors and awards, LHS National Honor Society, AP Scholar with Distinction, National Merit Commended Scholar, and 6A Football Academic Elite Team. Future plans to attend the University of Texas and major in mechanical engineering. His goal is to eventually work in the area of nuclear engineering. Yusuf Oyeni, subject, social studies, son of Mosuda Oyeni. Activities participated with the LHS Academic Decathlon Team, the Chess Club, and UIL Mathematics Competition Team, member of the LHS National Honor Society. Honors and awards. With his Academic Decathlon Team, Yusuf placed fourth at the regional competition, recognized as the Rotary Club Student of the Week. Future plans to attend the University of Houston, where he will major in biomedical engineering. Early College High School, Parker Tew. Parents, Jeffrey and Heather Tew. Activities, Phi Theta Kappa at Midland College, Spanish Club at Early College High School, Science Club, Robotics Club, Senior Boys Club, National Honor Society. Honors and awards, Outstanding Geometry Student in 9th grade, Outstanding Chemistry Student in 10th, Outstanding Pre-Calculus and AP Physics in 11th, Regional Finalist for AMA TYC Researching, 2022 All-Texas Academic Team, Midland College President's List, UIL Regional Finalist, A Honor Roll each year of high school, received Academic Letter Awards for his GPA being above 3.5 for every year of high school, Citizenship Award, Presidential Award, and Junior Achievement Award twice, 4.0 GPA in high school as well as a 4.0 at Midland College, valedictorian of his class. Future plans to attend Texas Tech University, where he will major in mechanical engineering, and plans to pursue a career in oil or aerospace industry.
This is the obituary column, Tuesday, May 10th. Benito Mendoza Avila. Benito Mendoza Avila, age 86, of Midland, went home with our Lord on May 2nd. Benito was born on May 10th, 1936, in Castellon, Texas. He is survived by his loving wife of 68 years, Juliana Ramos Avila, of Midland, four daughters and three sons, Irene Wilmot and husband Victor of San Antonio, Vicky Banks and husband Randy of San Antonio, Benny Jr. Avila and wife Diana of Midland, Sylvia Esquivel and husband Manuel of Midland, Leroy Avila and wife Anita of Midland, Helen Flores and husband Juan Carlos of Midland, and Christopher Avila of Midland. 18 grandchildren, 35 great-grandchildren, and 14 great-great-grandchildren. He is also survived by one brother, Manuel Avila of Dallas, and a sister, Alicia Ibarra of Odessa, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his loving granddaughter, Miriam Nicole Lopez, his parents, four brothers, and three sisters. Services will be held at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Hours are 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Viewing will be Tuesday, May 10th, with a special balloon release tribute honoring his birthday at 7 p.m. A rosary will be held Wednesday, May 11th, at 7 p.m., and funeral memorial services will be held Thursday, May 12th, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Church at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Rest Haven North. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Gennaro U. Hernandez, Jr. Our beloved dad, grandpa, great and great-great-grandpa, Gennaro U. Hernandez, Jr., 94, of Midland, was called home on Thursday, May 5th. He is now reunited with his loving wife, Vicky, of 62 years, and are both with our Heavenly Father in heaven. Viewing will be on Wednesday, May 11th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Funeral services will be on Thursday, May 12th at 2 p.m., also at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. Gennaro was born September 19, 1927, to Gennaro and Martha Hernandez. He married Vicky on July 3, 1948, and had six children. Gennaro is preceded in death by his wife Vicky Hernandez, daughters Gloria Gonzalez and Stella Garcia, brothers Rosendo Colazzo, Gregorio Colazzo, Fermin Hernandez and Ruben Hernandez, and Andres Hernandez, sister Victoria Lara, and grandsons Philip Hernandez and Carlos Castro. He is survived by his sons, Daniel Hernandez, Paul Hernandez, Erolinda, and Victor Hernandez, and one daughter, Rachel Porras, as well as numerous grandchildren, great and great-great-grandchildren. He is also survived by three sisters, Luisa Munoz, Modesta Munoz, and Delia Segura. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Matt Freeman. David Matthew Matt Freeman, 48, of Marina del Rey, California, passed away on April 25th in Los Angeles. Matt was born March 9, 1974, in Midland, the son of David B. Freeman and Catherine Morris Geeslin. He was preceded in death by his stepfather, Ken Geeslin of Athens, Texas, paternal grandparents James and Sybil Freeman of Blue Ridge, Texas, paternal grandfather Hoyle Cruz of Midland, and his uncle Leon Morris of Snyder. He is survived by his mother, Catherine Geeslin of Athens, Texas, father David B. Freeman and wife Pamela of Midland, sisters Malia James of Los Angeles and Jane Ogden of Midland. Four children, Sydney, Sarah, Cosmos, and Cosmina. His maternal grandmother, Earlene Pine of Midland, as well as cousins, nieces, and nephews. Funeral arrangements were entrusted to the Hannigan Smith Funeral Home, hannigansmith.com. Online condolences may be made on their website. An online virtual service is planned for family members and close friends at a later date to honor his life and memory. Myrtle Wilson. On Saturday, May 7th, Myrtle Nunn Wilson went to join her husband, Ira Eugene Wilson, in their heavenly home, just in time for their 74th wedding anniversary. She passed peacefully in her sleep at her family's residence in El Campo, Texas. Myrtle was born April 22, 1928, to Lucius and Mamie Tubbs Nunn in Runnels County, near Ballinger, Texas. Myrtle is preceded in death by her husband, Gene Wilson, parents Lucius and Mamie Nunn, sisters Estelle Jones and Lorena Jones, and brother J.B. Nunn. She is survived by her daughter, Sharon Monroe, and husband Larry of El Campo, Texas, son Lynn Wilson and wife Rosemary of Sugarland, as well as grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Visitation will be held at Triska Funeral Home from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 10th. A graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, May 11th at Memory Gardens in Edna, Texas. Memorial donations in memory of Myrtle may be made to Crestview Baptist Church Building Fund, Hospice of Houston, or St. Philip Catholic School. Condolences may be shared online at www.triskafuneralhome.com. Russell Glenn Stutville. Russell Glenn Stutville, 65, of Midland, went to be with Jesus on May 6th. Buddy was born March 10, 1956, to Dean and Doris Stutville. He is survived by his wife, Sheila Stutville, sons Russell and Corey Stutville of Midland, sister Cindy Banta and her husband Dennis of Brownsfield, Texas, brothers Jimmy Stutville and his wife Sharon of Midland, as well as six grandchildren. The family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, May 11th at Nellie Pickle-Wells Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, May 12th at Mid-Cities Church. The burial will take place at 4:30 p.m. Thursday, May 12th at Crane Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle-Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. William Austin Womack. William Austin Womack passed away at his home of 51 years on May 3rd at the age of 100. He was born October 11th, 1921 in Fort Worth to Bertha and William Womack. William is survived by son Ray Womack of Valley Glen, California, daughter and son-in-law Lori and Jim Granbury of Gardendale, Texas, daughter-in-law Cindy Bledsoe of Midland, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The family will receive friends on Monday, May 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Nellie Pickle-Wells Funeral Home. A funeral service will occur Tuesday, May 10th at 11:30 a.m. at First Christian Church in Midland. A burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Aiden Madrid Sanchez. Aiden Madrid Sanchez, 82, of Midland, passed away May 7th. Visitation will be on Tuesday, May 10th, at Iglesia Apostolica from 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. Service will be held at 8 a.m. Wednesday, May 11th, at Iglesia Apostolica. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, and online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Alex Anchondo. Alex Anchondo, 42, of Midland, passed away May 8th. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday, May 13th at Nellie Pickle-Wells Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 14th at Elevate Church, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. George Lester Jansa. George Lester Jansa of St. Lawrence, Texas, passed away May 6th. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 17th at St. Lawrence Catholic Church in St. Lawrence. A Mass of Catholic burial will be celebrated at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, May 18th, also at St. Lawrence Catholic Church. Interment will follow at St. Lawrence Catholic Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle-Wells Funeral Home of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. Poorly attended redistricting session questioned. Minority groups express concerns over proposed plans. The Odessa City Council unveiled two proposed redistricting plans during a specially scheduled public hearing Monday afternoon, and while only three members of the public spoke, they all expressed concerns Odessa's minority populations weren't included in the process. Sidney Falk, a demographer and attorney with the Austin law firm of Bickerstaff, Heath, Delgado, and Acosta, explained to the sparsely attended gallery that the law requires all city council districts to be within 10% of each other population-wise. Using a PowerPoint presentation, Falk explained that ideally, each district should have 22,897 people in it, but the latest Census figures show districts 2 and 4 are overpopulated with 22 and 24% respectively, while the other three districts are underpopulated by 14 to 16%. The latest census figures show Odessa's overall deviation from the ideal district populations is nearly 41%, so the city has to redesign its districts, Falk said. Councilwoman at large, Denise Swanner, has represented the city during the process, which began in January. City Attorney Natasha Brooks and City Manager Michael Marrero also participated in the discussions. On Monday, Falk presented two plans the council has determined are the best to choose from, with Plan D being largely written by Swanner. Mayor Javier Hoven and Councilmember Mari Willis were not present. Under Plan A, the overall deviation number drops by 6.33%, and under Plan D, that number is 6.10%, Falk said. NAACP President Jean Collins, Black Cultural Council of Odessa President Joanne Davenport-Littleton, and resident Darlene Mays all expressed dismay they and other members of Odessa's minority population had not been informed of the ongoing process. In years past, Collins said, he was included in the discussions particularly because of past litigations regarding single-member districts. I'm sorry that you feel you were not represented, Swanner said in response to Littleton's comments. Under Plan A, District 1's Hispanic population will fall from 66% to just under 61%, and the Black population will fall from 11% to 9.34%. District 5's Hispanic population will drop from roughly 77% to just over 75%, and the Black population will rise from just under 4% to 4.7%. Under Plan D, District 1's Hispanic population will drop from 66% to just under 55%, and the Black population will change from 11% to 9.54%. In District 5, the Hispanic population will increase to nearly 78% from roughly 77%, and the Black population will rise to 4.45% from just under 4%. Collins told the council he was surprised by the lack of communication. As all of you know, under the Voting Rights Act, our organizations can file an enforcement action at any time. If you move a voting box, we can solve and get the move back if it is done with the intent of skewing an election. So it would seem natural that those groups that represent minority organizations would be contacted early in the process to make sure there were no complaints and that they felt that you were doing things that were equal and fair to their constituents, Collins said. Having been involved in past litigations, Collins said he has concerns. I would like to make sure that there is no packing of a particular race trying to put all of a certain minority in one particular district, and also let's look at the history of those districts and make sure that we don't gerrymander in such a way that certain districts who had been designated as minority districts can remain minority districts, Collins said. I know there has been a lot of movement and a lot of building going on and aggressive since the last time that I was involved in the process of drawing the districts. Littleton said she only recently heard about the redistricting process, and while she has come to learn it was on the city's website and on Facebook, there are a lot of people who don't use social media. In addition, she complained that whatever meetings have been held were held during the day when people work. After the meeting, Littleton said she's worried District 1's minority voting strength could be diluted if either Plan A or Plan D is adopted. That's a big issue, she said. Mays said following the meeting that in addition to the lack of communication, She's also concerned about part of District 1 being moved into District 5, considering all of the growth in the north. Following the meeting, Faulk declined to provide the Odessa American a copy of his PowerPoint, noting it belongs to the city of Odessa. When Brooks was asked if she could give Faulk permission to provide the OA with the public document, Swanner inserted herself into the conversation and said the OA would have to file a Texas Public Information Act request for it, and Brooks said she answers to the council. Moments after it was pointed out Swanner is only one member of the council, a copy of the PowerPoint was copied by a city employee and provided to the OA. The OA is currently in the midst of a legal battle with the city of Odessa over public documents. The city council meets again Tuesday at 6 p.m. for its regular session. They are expected to again discuss proposed amendments to the city's game room ordinances. The council is considering prohibiting game rooms from opening within 1,500 feet of each other and schools, churches, and neighborhoods. City attorneys have said the law only allows municipalities to set a 300-foot limitation. They'll also discuss limiting their hours of operation and ensuring they are located in heavy and light industry areas. Top of the class, Compass Academy to graduate first senior class. Compass Academy Charter School has reached the milestone this year of having its first senior class. There are 57 seniors this year, Superintendent Kathy Killingsworth said. The school started in 2011, and Killingsworth has been there since 2015. We've been building the program and facilities, expanding and hiring staff and everything that you have to do each year to add another grade level, Killingsworth said. Killingsworth said the top three students are valedictorian Sean Curry, salutatorian Mateo Dutchover, and Kinsey Jamerson, the third-ranking student. She said it wasn't difficult to pick the top three students because it was based on their GPA. All students will be recognized for their accomplishments. Final rankings are not yet in. Graduation is set for 7 p.m. May 20th in the Comstock Athletic and Fine Arts Complex. A senior breakfast will be held the same day at 8:30 a.m. in the Commons area. Curry and Dutchover will attend University of Texas Permian Basin on full scholarships, she said. Both are in the National Honor Society. Curry was in Boy Scouts before turning 18, and Dutchover is a point guard on the basketball team. Curry, 18, is leaning toward studying engineering. He said it was very cool to be part of Compass's first graduating class and its first valedictorian. Curry said students who want to achieve top status should stay on top of their work and get assignments done early. If you don't know something, study it, Curry said. Dutchover, 17, plans to study psychology and then be a firefighter after college. His father used to be a firefighter. I think it's very unique and not many people get to do it, Dutchover said. He offered similar advice to what Curry would advise younger students. Make sure they get their work done on time. Curry said Compass was a pretty safe high school. It's not as rough as Permian or OHS, he said. Dutchover said you get to know the people because the school is not as big and the class sizes are small. Curry said it was easier to ask teachers questions and everyone talks to everyone. Killingsworth said Curry and Dutchover are very special. They've done great work and we're very proud of them. I know that they'll go on and make Compass proud as well. They're going to be real successful, and we're pleased that we were part of their lives getting there, she added. There were 1,348 students in grades kindergarten through 12th that attend the public charter school. Compass has a lottery and a wait list, so when someone leaves, it fills the spot from the waiting list, Killingsworth said. The students will be the speakers at graduation. Plans are to reach 2,500 students at all grade levels, and portables will be added. We're expanding enrollment to build Phase 3, which will be a two-story junior high-high school combination, Killingsworth said. Concert honors former UTPB Orchestra director. Instead of having a funeral, the late Tom Holstadt decided to have a concert instead. The event is set for 7 p.m. May 17th at the Ray Great House Hall at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. It is free and open to the public. Holstadt was the director of orchestra senior lecturer at UTPB. He was born September 5th, 1933 and died January 3rd, 2022. He was 89. He is survived by his wife, Muriel, a daughter, Leslie, and her husband, Dan Borwick, and a son, Lowell, and his wife, Kathy. Also grandchildren, Danny Borwick, Maya Borwick, Sarah Holder, and Jonathan Holstadt. His great-grandchild is Mercy Marie Borwick. In my father's will, he said that he didn't want a funeral per se, Howell Holstadt said. He would rather there be a celebration, a music concert. Holstadt said he started working on the concert the week his father died. He let my mom know that I would know what to do as he was in the hospital, Holstadt said. He added that several members of the community will talk about Tom Holstadt's influence in their lives. Odessa College Chair of Visual and Performing Arts, Eric Baker, will be there with the Lone Star Brass Quintet. The Cassette Strings Quartet will play, and Jennifer Leschnauer with the Cassette will speak, along with Odessa Faith Christian Senior Pastor Don Kaywood. His parents considered Odessa Faith Christian Church their church. The last piece of the concert is Dance from Southwest Suite, with the UTPB strings joined by Cassette and the Lone Star Brass Quintet. This last piece is a bit of a hoedown. I know he would have liked this event to end with something positive, Holstadt said. The concert will start with some of his favorite hymns, A Mighty Fortress, How Great Thou Art, and Great is Thy Faithfulness. Holstadt said his father directed those hymns in his last concert in the same venue. Holstadt said he and Leschnauer grew up together and studied with Dorothy Croft, so they have been friends for decades. We went to the same schools up north, and I've written several pieces that they've, the Cassette, premiered. When she heard that Dad had passed, she called me, and she said we would like to donate their time and talents to honoring him, Holstadt said. The concert will also feature soprano Crystal Jacquez and pianist Sherry Santarelli. Holstadt said he wrote a piece called I Want My Flowers Now, based on a poem that Tom Holstadt's grandmother had written. The gist of the poem is, don't wait until after you are gone to give people the nice things you want to tell them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you appreciate them. Don't wait until the funeral to get the flowers. I'd rather have my flowers before I'm gone. So that was what the poem was about, and so I wrote a song for soprano and piano, Holstadt said. Jennifer Acosta, orchestra teacher at Alamo Junior High School in Midland, is a community member playing with the strings. She is a violinist. I was one of his last orchestra students the year she graduated from college, Acosta said. She added that Tom Holstadt had a huge passion for music. If I could have a fraction of his passion when I teach, then hopefully the kids will turn out okay, Acosta said. She said she's going to see if she can make it through the concert without crying. It's an honor, Acosta said. Tom Holstadt was an international symphony conductor, author, lecturer, recording artist, composer, and soloist. A Fulbright scholar, he earned 4 advanced degrees from the Eastman School of Music and the Vienna Academy for Music. In addition, he received the Performer's Certificate from the Eastman School of Music and Advanced Study from the renowned maestro Pierre Montu at the Domain School of Conductors, the concert program detailed. His 28-year conducting career included positions with the Eastman School of Music, the Honolulu, Amarillo, and Midland Odessa Symphonies. He also made guest appearances in 8 nations. Tom Holstadt was also a well-known trumpet player. His understanding of music wasn't just about the notes. He approached it from the standpoint of the emotion and from an analysis of the emotion that was being conveyed, Hostad said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.